The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen, what do you think about Jackson Hayes dunking all over Reggie Jackson?
You nasty boy, you nasty. And I'm disappointed he's got a technical foul.
Let's start the show. He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do, Mr. Rose?
People! What they want.
The people want Jay Billis, and the people will get Jay Billis. He joins us to break down the bracket shortly, but we have some big news in the NFL. Future Hall of Famer Drew Brees has now officially retired. Jalen, what do you think this means for him and the Saints?
I think this is classic going out on top. And I don't mean because they won the Super Bowl this past season. I mean because at his age, dealing with injuries, in particular this season, I saw a little arm strength declining from Drew Brees. And it seemed like he and Michael Thomas weren't on the same page at all this year. So instead of us getting a lost tapes year from Drew Brees, where he comes in next season and he gets hit or he struggles and he has to get benched, I think retiring at this point in time was the right decision for a future Hall of Famer, who's had an amazing career.
Absolutely. And you and I are old and washed up, so we remember the eights. But if you're like 25, all you see is success in New Orleans, and a lot of that is because of this man, Drew Brees. But Jalen, while he had a great run, 15 seasons with the Saints, they really won the Super Bowl only one time. And do you think the legacy will be the man that brought a Super Bowl to New Orleans, or the legacy will be the how close they came to playoff success only to have it dragged away from them in the final seconds of game after game, year after year?
He'll definitely be remembered for bringing a Super Bowl to New Orleans. As you mentioned, the Aints did exist. So therefore, their fan base in that city does appreciate his legendary greatness on and off the field. But these last couple of years, it's been Heartbreak Hotel. Man, it has some heartbreaking losses these last couple of seasons, Jacoby, to end their season.
Absolutely. And while Drew Brees will not be playing for the Saints, Aaron Jones will be playing for the Packers. He signed a four-year, $48 million deal to stay behind Aaron Rodgers in the backfield in Wisconsin. What do you think this means for the Packers?
That's our man. That's our man. And I'm not surprised that they understood his value and decided to keep him. It's not Ezekiel Elliott level money, but I tell you what, he's going to be just as productive next season. And so in theory, the Packers got a discount in a lot of ways based on how their season ended, losing the way they did, and him struggling in their final game.
So, Jalen, I'm going to draw a comparison here. We just celebrated Drew Brees' career, 15 seasons with the Saints, one Super Bowl championship. And you look at Aaron Rodgers, that man right there. They've only won the Super Bowl once with him under center. Do you think that re-signing Jones and some other tweaks with the roster, that do you think there's another Super Bowl to be celebrated in Wisconsin with Aaron Rodgers?
I don't think his window is closed. Here's why. I think back. It's fourth down. Eight to go. You have Aaron Rodgers under center. And you kick a field goal. And you hope the defense is going to get a stop. So since the defense did not get that stop, if you get into that situation again, you put the ball in Aaron Rodgers' hands. And so I don't believe that their window's closed. Aaron Rodgers was last year's MVP. The team has been consistently winning under Matt LaFleur these last couple of years. I think signing Aaron Jones continues the legacy of Aaron Rodgers playing on a contending level team.
Absolutely. Now, Jalen, what do we like to watch the Pelicans do?
Watch the Pelicans fly! The Pelicans fly!
The Pelicans were flying all over the Clippers in a dominant win for the Pelicans, led by that guy Zion, who's really opened up his game of late. Do you think that this young team is coming together to make a good run into the playoffs?
You know what I think, Jacoby?
What's
they
that?
May be young, but they're ready. I like what Stan Van Gundy has done with this squad. Zion, of course, is going to be celebrated for the way he finishes in the paint, the way he continues to attack the basket. But also his playmaking and his ball handling is something that unlocks the offensive attack. And it takes a lot of pressure, in particular, off Lonzo Ball.
Yep.
I think that has allowed him to now settle into who he can be as an NBA player. And you and I both have a statistic about Lonzo Ball's three-point makes per game as it relates to the rest of the top players in the game.
Oh, yeah. When you look at him and how he's developed that three-point shot over the years that he's been in the league, you can see the dramatic increase. And he had a bad bubble, so everyone came into this year low on Lonzo. But there are some players in the NBA that Lonzo has scored more three-point baskets than that would blow your mind. Players like, I don't know, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, and many other prominent players. Lonzo is now shooting better from three than. That was a big win for them. However, before we move on, I do have to say this. Pelicans, y'all need to play some defense. I love that Jackson Hayes is dunking and Lonzo's hitting threes and Zion's got the ball, but y'all need to play some defense for real. Well, someone who no one can play defense on in the NBA, we will not see on the court for quite some time. Joel Embiid has a bone bruise. He'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks. He'll obviously be out for those 2 weeks, but he was the front runner for the MVP. But with him being out, how do you think this changes the MVP race?
I know everybody likes to talk about the MVP race way too early in the season, but now since we're post All-Star break, this is where the players actually start jockeying for position. And there's no clear-cut favorite to me right now. I believe it's going to be decided during the second half of the year. There are going to be prominent players like LeBron James and Giannis Antetokounmpo that have been terrific. James Harden, what he's done with the Nets. The Joker in Denver. There are a lot of players, Jacoby, that have been putting in work this year, but it's going to be decided based on how they perform the second half of the season.
I'm glad you mentioned James Harden and the Nets because they continue on their tear even after the All-Star break. And James Harden, every time he laces his sneakers, it seems like he gets a triple-double. He now has 9 triple-doubles since joining the Nets, and they're doing this all without KD. Jalen, 12 wins in the last 13 games, and with Joel Embiid out, what does this mean for the Eastern Conference at the top?
I just believe that this is why when you put 3 outstanding offensive weapons together, they're able to sustain themselves when one player is out. So, of course, you're going to miss Kevin Durant. But when you still have James Harden and Kyrie Irving, those guys are more than willing to fill in offensively, take those shots, get those points, and put in work. And so the Nets, if KD's able to return, will still be my favorite in the East. But I'll tell you what I've been telling you the last month or so. If KD went into All-Star break and he was not playing, and we came out of All-Star break and he was not, and he's still not playing, to me, that's worrisome for their long-term prognosis. So hopefully he's able to get healthy and get some games in before the season continues to get later and later in dealing with the injury that he's dealing with. Especially coming off the injury like an Achilles that he's overcoming from last season.
Absolutely. I wanted to see KD and AD after the All-Star break, but now I just want to see them get healthy as soon as possible. It is now time for some very important news that matters. Jalen, I love the outer space stuff. I think that there's aliens here on Earth, the UFOs. I believe in all that. You really don't really listen to me when I talk about it, but this is extremely important. What scientists want to do is take an egg and a sperm from each of the 6.7 million different species here on Earth and just stash them on the moon for a second, just in case we need them. Just in case we need them, they'll be on the moon. If a meteor hits the Earth and everything goes bad here, we've got the future of every single species here on Earth stashed on the moon, just in case we need it. To me, this is a brilliant plan. What do you think?
Did you say stash sperm on the moon?
Yes, is that what you said? It makes perfect sense to me. Stash sperm on the moon just in case you need it later. You never know.
I'm not rolling. I'd rather just kind of keep it in my body if that's cool.
I'm just gonna, you know what? Jay Billis joins us next and Jalen Rose. I can't wait to have Jay Billis come on because the brackets are out.
We're going to the Nationals, baby. Shout out to Gracie Rose. Hail to the victors. I know we didn't win the Big Ten tournament. We won the regular season Big Ten. We're going to miss Isaiah Livers, but we're getting ready for the NCAA.
Joe Lunardi, a.k.a. Joey Brackets here with the top three reasons you should play ESPN's Tournament Challenge. Number one, it's number one, the number one bracket game in America. Reason number two, creator-joined groups with coworkers, family, friends, celebrities, even me. Reason number three, fill out up to 25 different brackets for free, giving you 25 different shots at winning. So what are you waiting for? Sign up at ESPN.com/bracket or download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app now.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by Reese's.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Because it is the Tournament Challenge Marathon and the brackets have been released, of course, we have upgraded from Jalen Rose to Jay Billis for this very special segment. I've always wanted to change my co-host, and now all of my dreams have come true. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, Jalen and Juwan have some vested interest in the Michigan program. They are number one seed in the East. How do you feel about their chances to make the Final Four in the Eastern part of the bracket?
Not as good as I did about a week ago, simply because Isaiah Livers is still a question mark with that stress reaction in his foot. If he comes back, then Michigan is an elite offensive team and defensive team that can win the whole thing. But the second round matchup potentially against LSU, they have to get past St. Bonaventure first, but that's a scary one. Plus, they've got Alabama in their bracket on the bottom of it and Florida State in their way. If Livers is healthy, then Michigan's in the Final Four.
Well, they're number one seed. We all know the number one seeds, but what team that is not a number one seed that you think is poised for a deep run in this tournament?
I would say that is not a number one seed. I would say Oklahoma State because they've got Cade Cunningham. Oklahoma State was underseeded, I think, at a four. I thought they should have been higher with the wins they have. But Cade Cunningham is going to be the first pick in the draft. Oklahoma State was not expected to even play in the tournament because of a ridiculous NCAA sanction. But the appeals committee hasn't gotten to the case yet, so they can play. And I think Cade Cunningham and the rest of that crew can make a deep run in the tournament. They're legit.
Well, you sort of hinted at Michigan because Livers is out, but what team do you think should be on upset alert early on in the tournament, like the first couple rounds?
Yeah, I think there are two of them, Jacoby. I would say Virginia because of obviously the COVID issues they've got, but they're also playing Ohio, and Ohio's got a player named Jason Preston who's really good. And then I would say Creighton. I would watch out if I were Creighton because they're playing UC Santa Barbara, and UC Santa Barbara's got some really good guards. Creighton got blitzed in the last game of the Big East tournament. I think they're really good. They should win. Virginia should win too. But if you're looking for upsets, I would be concerned if I were those two teams.
If you work at security at Madison Square Garden, you absolutely have to let Patrick Ewing do whatever he wants. That is one of the most insane stories I've heard coming out of the weekend. So my next question for you is, what's a team that no one's talking about that has what it takes to make a deep run, final four, final two, maybe even win it all?
If you're talking about a sleeper, there is no sleeper in this tournament that is going to win it. Like people talking about a five seed or below that's going to win the whole thing, there isn't one. the top seeds are going to rip through this thing. It doesn't mean there's not going to be chaos in the first weekend, but Jacoby, if you look at the bracket and some of the double-digit seeds, a lot of the double-digit seeds are major conference teams. You know, like you've got Rutgers as a 10, Syracuse is an 11, Michigan State is an 11, UCLA is an 11. It's not the traditional deal where we've got the little guy as the double-digit seeds upsetting the big guy. We're going to have the big guy as Cinderella this year, and it's a little bit of an odd feel.
That's a good point. You mentioned Cade Cunningham, one of the most exciting players to watch that we'll eventually see with Jerry West on his chest. What are some other players that you'll see getting drafted as a high first-round pick that we should keep an eye on if we have NBA interests?
Well, first-round pick, I think you're going to see Jason Preston of Ohio. He's kind of the LaMelo Ball of this tournament. He's not as good as, or as talented as LaMelo Ball, but he's really good. He's a triple-double type player, and I think you're going to be very impressed when you see him play, if you haven't already, and the masses haven't seen him play. He's really, really good, and he's going to make a big difference for Ohio with a chance to advance in this tournament, maybe even get to a Sweet 16, given the draw that they have. And, you know, Cade Cunningham, Luka Garza is a great player. He's not going to be a first-round draft pick, but he's one of those Tyler Hansbrough-type players that's going to be fun to watch in the tournament because of what he has put into this thing. And then Io DeSumo of Illinois is big time. He broke his nose, so he's got that Batman mask.
The Batman, yeah.
So Illinois's got Batman and Kofi Coburn, the Incredible Hulk. They've got two superheroes, man, and that ain't fair. That just ain't fair.
It's like the Avengers. Obviously, this year has been different than every other year before, so the tournament is no different. It's going to be played in Indiana exclusively. How do you think that'll change things as it plays out?
I don't know. It's one, you know, one location for all 68 teams, so it's obviously an odd situation. I'll be interested to see after the tournament's over what the players say about how isolation affected them, because they are really being held in a bubble and completely isolated, including not coming out of their hotels at all. They cannot leave their hotels unless they are on the way to the arena to generate revenue. It's an odd feeling. During the regular season, the players were in isolation, but it was a little bit different. They got to go on road trips. This one, I mean, they're going to be like the family dog. They're going to be happy. All they're thinking about is, when do I get to eat, play, and when can I get in the car?
I'm going to steal that joke and not credit you. Thank you very much. So obviously I'm going to ask you the questions. Who do you have in your Final Four and who do you have winning it all?
I have got Alabama as a two seed, Gonzaga, Baylor, and Illinois. And that sounds kind of chalky. I've got a lot of upsets in the first weekend, but outside of that, it gets a little more chalky. And then I've got Illinois in the final playing Gonzaga, and then I've got Gonzaga winning it all. I think they're going to be the first team since Indiana in 1976 to rip through a season undefeated. We almost had it in 2015 with Kentucky. They were 38-0 going into the Final Four before they lost to Wisconsin. But I think Gonzaga is going to pull it off this year. They've got a good draw, and they've got a great vibe, and they've got two lottery picks that are leading the way, and they've got other really good players that are star caliber, not just really good players, star caliber players. They're the real thing.
So, Jay, you've been critical and right about some of the way that you think that college basketball should restructure the way it does its business. What do you think some of the biggest problems are right now with college basketball?
Well, the first is on court. The charge block call has got to change. And I'm talking about when a secondary defender comes over to slide in front of a driver that has won his path to the basket. And if it's a primary defender that's got legal guarding position moving to maintain it, man, that's the charge we should celebrate. But sliding under, no way. We got to fix that thing. And for referees that say it's a 50-50 call, if it's a 50-50 call, it is a block. Unless it is beyond a reasonable doubt, it is a charge. And we need to pay the players. Allow them to be paid just like everybody else. Every other student gets to make whatever they can in the marketplace. Natalie Portman went to an Ivy League school, and she was acting, making a bunch of money. My daughter made money as an artist. I don't see why Luka Garza can't make a few bucks. It's ridiculous.
Exciting. I cannot wait to Google your daughter's art. I'm going to purchase something. She's selling on Etsy or something. I'm going to buy something and put it up on the wall here in the studio. Thank you so much for taking the time. Of course, I know you have a lot of work to do. And as always, you got to get to work. Thank you so much, Jay.
Got to go to work, baby. Thanks. You need to get Jeezy on your wall, too.
Oh, he's there.
Oh, nice, the snowman.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon, presented by Reese's. Got to give the people.
Two big games tonight on ESPN starting at 8. It is the Knicks taking on the Nets, and then in the nightcap, we go to the West Coast to watch the Lakers up against Steph and the Warriors. Doubleheader tonight, NBA on ESPN. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in Pier 17 in New York City, welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, Tom Gores did something amazing. What was that?
I'm extremely grateful to Tom Gores, his wife Holly, the Platinum Equity family, and the Detroit Pistons. They stepped up, Jacoby, and they donated $1 million to JRLA.
Wow.
We're an open enrollment, tuition-free public charter high school. We get zero state funding for our facility, and we are a nonprofit. This is the actual charity that makes it to the hood. And I know it's not prestigious like giving it to a college or a university, and I noticed it didn't make the headlines across the newspaper or didn't show up at the bottom of the ticker. But this is the actual charity work that makes it to the hood. And since 2011, I continue to be motivated to not only service my community, but give back in every way possible. Thank you very much, TG. I love you, brother.
If you want to help, you can go to jrladetroit.com. Thank you, Jay Billis. We will be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. We always say we give the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for the people. Jalen Anthony Rose. A couple things we need to discuss. Number one, sure, Drew Brees retired. And that was some big news. But that wasn't that surprising. Do you know what was surprising to me, Mr. Rose? Cam Newton signing with the Patriots.
Wow.
Huh?
I actually am not surprised by that, Jacoby.
What's that?
When Cam Newton came out and said Bill Belichick was dope, you know what I did? I went back to look at Cam's stats from last year, and I realized it was his worst season. Mm-hmm. I also looked back at the Patriots' record, and you know what I realized? It was one of their worst seasons in 20 years, and they lost Tom Brady, who went to Tampa Bay and won the Super Bowl his first year with him. Mm-hmm. So you know what that tells me? The Patriots don't have a quarterback. So therefore, they need to use Cam. And what I saw from him, I can't front. I want to see him respond and be a productive player. But I saw him throw a lot of balls that started out really high as a trajectory and ended up hitting the turf. I talked to you about this. Me and you was watching so many games, Jacoby. I can't front for the audience. You and I were watching so many of their games, and we could not believe how many of his balls hit people's feet or the turf. So I don't know if he got an issue with his shoulder or his arm, but that got to get rectified.
That's what I want to discuss, because we watched a lot of him, and he would throw the ball and it would land at the feet of a receiver, kind of like when someone's already blown up a screen pass and the quarterback doesn't want to get an intentional grounding, so he'll throw it at the feet of the receiver. So there's mad times where he would throw a ball like that, and I'm like, oh, why did he throw that away? I'm asking myself, like, what was it? Was he under pressure? Were they covered? And then you watch the replay, I was like, oh, no, he just missed that throw. Like, he was bouncing the ball to receivers over and over and over again, and coming off a shoulder surgery, you have to put those two together. And I don't know what happened last season in practice or on the field where Belichick and the Patriots front office said, you know what, let's run that back again. Let's do that again. A couple tweaks and we're in the Super Bowl. No, they're not a couple tweaks from the Super Bowl, not based on that performance. So we'll see. Do you think it was a health thing?
I hope it was a health thing, because at the beginning of the season, before he caught COVID, it was promising what I saw. Like those first two or three games, I was really excited for what I felt Cam could possibly do and put himself in position to be a solidified starting quarterback for the Patriots or any team, but I also wanted to see him get a long-term deal. And I felt like if he would have went to the Patriots and ball, he would have been in position to get like one of those 3-4 year contracts from them or somebody else. So since that didn't happen, like you said, they're running it back.
Jalen, can we talk about white people for a second?
Sure.
I'm sure you've seen the clip. I'm sure everyone listening has seen the clip. The Oklahoma girls high school game. One of the announcers has a hot mic, uses the N-word. Like, not just throwing it around, like, really uses the N-word. And then apologizes, and in his apology mentions that he suffers from diabetes and his sugar was spiking, and sometimes that causes him to say things that he regrets. Jalen, what do you think about the apology?
When people show you who they are, believe them. And you know my stance on stuff like this. And it probably varies from a lot of people that even look like me. I don't get upset when stuff like this happens. I like when people show me how they feel. That's the reason why I don't like the term cancel, because I want people to express themselves and let me know where they stand. And by the way, shout to those young ladies who decided that not only do I want to play basketball because something is something that I love to do, I also care about the humanity of myself and others. And I'm willing to take a knee as a high school student, knowing that I'm going to be criticized. How about that? I want to give them all the props in the world. Oh, and by the way, you know who won that tournament, right? You know who won that tournament, right? They
did. You're talking about them.
They did. And let's really break down what he said. So basically, they were kneeling, and he called them little N-words, right?
I don't think he used little, but sure. He called them N-words, yes.
Okay. So you know what they say, sometimes the cover-up is worse than the crime?
Yep.
It's like, you should just keep that, dog. You should just keep that. And he had the nerve to not only use that as part of his apology, but somebody actually wrote that in a statement. Like, so, you know, when you write things down, you should actually comprehend them. You know, when you type things, that usually gives you a chance to go back and correct what you just typed, right? So you put that in the atmosphere to make yourself even look more foolish, because being diabetic and being racist are two different things, I thought.
Yes, I don't believe that they're related. And also, like, you can't. And then he mentions the diabetes and then immediately says, but I take full responsibility. No, you don't take full responsibility. Full responsibility is taking full responsibility and not mentioning the sugar spike. So he kind of like sandwiched the diabetes mention with, but I'm responsible and I take full responsibility. Like, no, you don't. And you make a good point. It's one thing if you get caught doing something wrong and you're just off the cuff, just searching for answers and reasons and explanations, and you mention the sugar spike. But when you have someone write it down and put it out in a prepared statement that multiple people had eyes on before it went out, that just proves just how backwards the thinking of is this person and the people around
them. And I love you, my brother, and it's important for you and I to say this publicly because it matters, and our audience been with us 10 years. The abundance of topics that we are now discussing that have racial overtones, it's not like this just started. The difference is technology, cell phones, microphones. That's the difference. We're now getting visuals. We're now getting audio of some of the racist thoughts and feelings that people have. And so what I feel about his case, he should get fired.
Oh yeah.
That's a fireable offense.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, I don't even think he got fired yet. So I mean, what does that tell us?
I'm shocked. I would be shocked if he does not get fired. I'd also be shocked if someone else hired him after he was fired from what he was doing. Well, it was a girls' high school game. He might have been volunteering his time. Mr. Rose, I just want to say thank you for your patience. We had a lot of technical issues behind the scenes today, everyone listening to this. Just want to let you know. So I want to give a big shout to our crew. Big shout to Jay Billis for his patience. Jalen, appreciate your patience as well. And we will be back tomorrow. Why is that?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done. Got to give the people now. Give people what they want.